Hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This is Stinchfield, the podcast. It is unbelievable to me. I got a dog that's fooling with my light, and it almost fell down on me. How about that? Goose, knock it off. We got a studio audience, a golden retriever who's fooling with my lights. That was close, folks, but it's live podcast, so what are you going to do? Hey, welcome to the program. Big night last night, the debate, an absolute debacle by Joe Biden. I was shocked to see where he was last night. I knew that this is Joe Biden in the basement of the White House. I knew this is him lying on the couch waiting for his pudding, but I did not expect to see him the way he was last night, with no energy, barely able to speak, no force behind him, unable to finish his sentences. That's normal for him, but I thought we'd get jacked up, Joe. A drug cocktail. Instead, we got a feeble old man that is now the number one national security risk to this nation. And I have to wonder, what are our enemies thinking today? Certainly, everyone else is talking about what this means for the presidential race, what this means for Joe Biden. All of that is worth a conversation. I don't know if anybody's talking about what is Xi Jinping of China thinking? What is Kim Jong-un of North Korea thinking? What is Vladimir Putin of Russia thinking? This is a very serious situation, and I think Congress needs to investigate what is going on with Joe Biden and how anybody in the executive branch could allow this to continue to get to the point with what we saw last night. All right, with that, the new federal state of China is my guest today. I want to get to the show. Let's go.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks, thank you so much. As promised, Ayla Wang is with us. Ayla, welcome to the program. It's so great to have you on today.
Grant, thank you for having me today.
All right, so first off, maybe I'll just ask you your reaction to the debate last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that was, you know, what everybody was looking to see, right? But there is, you know, a drastic energy level difference between President Trump and President Biden. For new federal state of China, you know, we don't have any particular stance for each president candidate. What we can say is that, you know, whoever collaborates with the Chinese Communist Party will be the enemy of the new federal state of China, because our sole mission is to take down the Chinese Communist Party. And among all of the, you know, international and domestic political affairs, I think the one drastic, you know, the one major point is we're looking to see, you know, what the next president, what the next president will do to, you know, to confront the risks and threats coming out from the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah. Let me play a clip from you of Joe stumbling and mumbling. And the reason I play this clip is because people like Xi Jinping have to be watching this.
With dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden, President Trump.
I mean, Ayla, I honestly don't know what to say. We see him do that when he's giving speeches. Now, again, my biggest concern is for national security. You have whistleblowers inside the Chinese Communist Party. Miles Guo, your founder, knew Xi Jinping personally. What is your assessment of what Xi Jinping is thinking when he's watching this go down?
Well, I think, you know, for President Xi and for the entire Chinese Communist Party, all of these presidential elections in the United States will be listed as a top priority in terms of, you know, their interaction and their tension with the United States. The problem here today is that the CCP's infiltration into the United States and even, you know, interfering the U.S. election could be long term. So, you know, it would not be a public commentary on how President Biden reacted in these debates. It would be, you know, how much, you know, Chinese influence it could be into these posts, into all of these process of the U.S. election. And that's where people find concerns. By watching that clip, right, by watching that President Biden has certain difficulties in finishing his speech, reminds me of how President Xi addressed his own speech in China. In fact, that with President Xi, every public speech that he, you know, that was pre-scripted, that people have to write the scripts for him, it was never, you know, a public presidential debate or, you know, top official presidential debate in China, and the fact that there were times that President Xi was not able to pronounce correctly of certain Chinese words, and that the speech was on public. So people made, you know, all these editings, and all of these, you know, materials were censored on Chinese internet.
So this is interesting. So Xi Jinping, I mean, I don't understand Chinese, right? So I wouldn't know if he's stumbling or not. So he stumbles and mispronounces just like Joe Biden?
Exactly. And multiple times.
And multiple times. So do the people of China look at Xi Jinping as a mumbling buffoon, much like many of us look at Joe Biden, or no?
There were, you know, added clips, you know, to put all of his mumbling clips all together, and all these videos will be censored on Chinese internet. However, you know, there are intentional videos, and some of the words marked in his transcript doesn't make any sense to, you know, to the Chinese public. And so there are times that people raise concerns about his health conditions, about, you know, his understanding of the language, and about, you know, the accuracy, you know, of how he could, you know, how he could represent him as a president of the CCP.
This is fascinating because I've been doing this with you and others with the New Federal State of China for a long time now, and I've never actually known that Xi Jinping is known to stumble and bumble around. You know, he comes off as such a strong figure, but again, I don't speak Chinese, so I wouldn't know if he's mispronouncing something or what he's saying, or if he's getting caught like Joe Biden gets caught. Is he with it mentally, though, Xi Jinping? Because I've always believed that he was a very smart, sly guy, unlike Joe Biden, who I think is the complete opposite. Am I wrong on that assumption?
I think the public image that the President Xi wants to portray, you know, in front of the Chinese public, that he wants to, you know, he wants to portray that he had received very, you know, good education, that he is a reader, that he reads lots of books, even though, you know, in Cultural Revolutions, that he always carries books when he did, you know, all of these farming works. But in fact, that, you know, the words that he used in his speech and the mispronunciation of many complex Chinese words make people concerned of how much Chinese language you actually understand. And one of the famous example is that during COVID times, you know, President Xi gave a public speech in front of all of the CCP members, saying that, you know, let's go fly to Wuhan, and instead of naming the city, because the city now was marked as a sensitive word on Chinese internet, they used a food that represents the Wuhan city and saying, let's fight noodle. And so, you know, people were shocked, you know, to watch that that speech. But because of the sensitive word that chosen by the CCP, even Xi himself was not able to pronounce the city while he was doing the public speech.
It's amazing. You realize that of all the interviews we've done, and I'm sure we tick off the Chinese Communist Party, I think this little interaction between us, of all things that would have Xi Jinping very angry with us, is this little exchange about his buffoonery and mumbles, bumbles, and stumbles. Of all of it, this may have him the most angry. You prepared for this?
I agree with you, Grant. In fact, that Mr. Mao Skuo said in his previous videos that with many of the CCP official families, they do not care if your determination is to take down the CCP or not to take down the CCP. But what they're concerned with, that you whistleblow about the scandals of their families, you whistleblow about the private and secret assets of their families, and you whistleblow about, you know, the sexual relationship, their mistress and their children, you know, who hide outside China. And this is, you know, the exact things that they would fear and you know, they would have concerns.
Unbelievable. Let me play a clip for you. I think this all goes together. They're talking about Russia here, but I think Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping, clearly they're two buddies. So I think Putin's views of Joe Biden are going to be very similar to Xi Jinping's views of Joe Biden. So I'm going to play this clip and then get your response.
He did nothing to stop it. In fact, I think he encouraged Russia from going in. I'll tell you what happened. He was so bad with Afghanistan. It was such a horrible embarrassment, most embarrassing moment in the history of our country, that when Putin watched that and he saw the incompetence, that he should have fired those generals like I fired the one that you mentioned. And so he's got no love lost, but he should have fired those generals. No general got fired for the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country, Afghanistan, where we left billions of dollars with COVID. We did a lot to fix it. I gave him an unbelievable situation with all of the therapeutics and all of the things that we came up with. We gave him something great. Remember, more people died under his administration, even though we had largely fixed it.
So that two clips there. One was about Vladimir Putin, and basically what President Trump was saying was he went into Ukraine because he saw Joe Biden's weakness and he never would have done it under President Trump. Now I'm watching this debate and I think to myself, does Xi Jinping see the weakness of Joe Biden, see how frail he looks? Does he say now's the time to go into Taiwan?
Well, Grant, I think, you know, that is, you know, a great question to have concerns, because obviously the CCP is fearing that the next, you know, the next president would be very strong against the Chinese Communist Party, right? And if she's going to choose a time to invade Taiwan, and the best time would be, you know, around the U.S. elections, and all in all, that she has never changed his determinations to unify Taiwan, and all of these, you know, social media campaigns created by the Chinese Communist Party, forcing the publicers to announce their stance of unifying Taiwan and admitting that Taiwan was part of China, was all alongside, you know, shows that the CCP's tension and determination to take over Taiwan. So when we saw, you know, that presidential debates mentioned about the Ukraine-Russia war, warfare, you know, it was surprised to me that, you know, that they did not mention about CCP's role in it. Because you remember, you know, Grant, we've talked about this, that President Xi had created operation centers for Putin in China so that Putin could get logistics and operation support directly from the Chinese Communist Party, MPLA. And this is still ongoing. The operation center still exists in the northern part of China. And when Putin visits, you know, Xi in Beijing, they've also go to that exact city where operation center existed.
You know, Ayla, we talk about the possible invasion of Taiwan every week. And every week we wonder, is it going to happen before the next time we talk? Are you amazed it has not happened yet?
Well, I think that CCP is planning on different strategies, because there are lots of strategies they have planned out to infiltrate and invade Taiwan. And in the past, you know, we've whistleblowed about how presidential candidates of Taiwan was actually agents of the Chinese Communist Party. And, it was very easy for CCP to interfere within Taiwan domestic politics. If you look at the legislation house, it was basically all of these candidates and people in positions have deep connections with the CCP. You look at, you know, the business tycoons who still live in Taiwan, their factories are still exist in Shanghai, in Beijing, in Henan province, and collaborated with National Security Department of the Chinese Communist Party. Even though we have not seen a physical, you know, attack or a physical invasion from the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP's influence and their ability to take over Taiwan has never changed.
Yeah. It was interesting. I got to talk to one of your founders, Stephen Bannon, last night during my Real America's Voice show. And he got me thinking about all of this, because he was talking about Xi Jinping and how he must be frothing at the mouth by watching this debate. I'm doing this on the fly. I'm trying to find the clip, because it just made me think about it when we were talking. So I'm going to play this interview with Steve Bannon. It's just a quick clip, him talking about Xi Jinping and Taiwan. I think I got it queued up. Let's give it a shot.
Is exactly what it was, Grant, when you and I had your show, I think at 7 o'clock, when you talked about this, and I said, I think this is probably the worst case scenario for President Trump. It was shocking. And look, let's be blunt. I think right now, forget the Democratic Party and forget the race. We have this is a national security issue, and this is a disgrace. There should be an immediate congressional investigation about how this guy is commander in chief. We have to find out. I tell you, this is with Putin and Xi. If I was Xi, I'd be getting the carriers and the missiles ready in Taiwan. This is an absolute disgrace. This guy is not, obviously, he's impaired to be president of the United States, to be commander in chief. The media has covered this up. His staff has covered this up. People have covered this up in Washington, D.C. Forget, he's going to be replaced in the Democratic Party. I mean, they got the knives out right now. CNN is like they had the script. Van Jones, these guys, like they had the script written weeks ago. But we have a far deeper problem here. People have known about Biden. This wasn't the first time he's done this. I mean, he froze. This was the most, but it was painful to watch. It was like seeing an elderly man with dementia or beginning Alzheimer's, didn't know where he was, and NBC comes out and said he had a cold. It's such a disgrace the way they cover for him. But we have a very deep problem, and this deep problem is not Joe Biden being on the Democratic Party ticket in September. He will never be on the debate stage with President Trump again, ever again.
So, Steve is always, as he is, spot on all of this, but he said, to quote him, if I was Xi Jinping, I'd have the carriers and the missiles ready to go into Taiwan. What do you think of Steve's comments?
Grant, I think she always has these missiles ready. In fact, that, you know, one of the news that I would like to mention, you know, related to Taiwan's potential, the CCP's potential invasion against Taiwan, is that yesterday, the CCP media, the state media of the Chinese Communist Party, announced the removal of two generals that you know that our whistleblower movement mentioned in almost the last year. That half, you know, almost six to eight months ago, that we whistleblowed about Xi's taking actions, you know, about into, you know, the internal officials of the PLA, and many of them are related to the rocket force. It was at that time one of the rocket general, Li Shangfu, was reported missing. It was September the 2023. And it was at that time we also whistleblowed about the removal, you know, by Xi to another general who was also, you know, a former commander in chief in within the People's Liberation Army. And that general was officially reported to be removed from his office yesterday. And that the state media confirmed that all of these so-called corruption investigations started since last year. And so, Grant, you could tell that, you know, every time when she was trying to change the general to remove top officials from the People's Liberation Army, it was because he wants to centralize the military power again. He understood that some of the generals in the PLA will not listen to him if he ordered that the missiles need to be shoot against Taiwan. So this is the exact time that the centralization of power has came to the table. And so I would agree with Mr. Bannon that, you know, the missiles probably are already ready.
Yeah. When you think about this and Xi Jinping, he's got to also consider, do you really want to use missiles and level the place? I mean, you'd be destroying buildings. If he wants to take over Taiwan, he wants to take it over because it's an economic machine. And I'm sure he wants to take advantage of that economic machine. Using missiles would be totally to his disadvantage. Can he go in there and take over without firing a missile? I actually believe he can. I don't want him to, but I believe if this goes down, I think just the threats of it, it's going to go down without a shot being fired.
That's exactly correct. Well, I think that the CCP's power and ability and different strategies of surrounding Taiwan, and, you know, remember that one of the CCP's policies, you know, they could, you know, file any letters to other countries and embassies in saying that they're now surrounding the Taiwan island, that all of the economic and international trade between Taiwan and any other countries needs to be stopped. And this was the one, you know, to drag down the economy of Taiwan. And at that time, proxies and agents of the Chinese Communist Party who lived in Taiwan could go on streets and saying that they want the PLA to free Taiwan. Wow. And this was one of the policies that they could use.
Imagine if Joe Biden was performing this way in front of Xi Jinping. Let me play a clip for you. I think it was the most important moment of the debate. You know, most debates have one moment you remember, sometimes two. A lot of debates don't have any moments you remember. I mean, I would go back to Nixon Kennedy way before your time, Ayla, but Nixon sweating during that debate. It was one of the first televised debates. It was a disaster for Nixon. Bad move. That was one of the most memorable. There was a time when Ronald Reagan said he will not use age as a political tool in his campaign. He will not exploit the youth and inexperience of his opponent, which was a great line against Walter Mondale. There was the I hope you're not president, yeah, because you'd be in jail moment from President Trump. In my mind, those are the three biggest moments in debate history. I don't think this moment equals those. I don't think it will be remembered for years to come. But if you had to pick out one moment out of the debate, this was it.
Move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more
asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look.
I don't know what he says. I don't think he knows what he said. It was a great moment. Now, I would have added, Ayla, I would have added if I was President Trump. Folks, can you imagine if Joe Biden is sitting across the table from Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin and ends a sentence like that, what these people are going to think of this man? I don't think he's capable of negotiating with Xi Jinping unless, Ayla, it's a business deal. That's it.
Frankly speaking, you know, I loved the reaction of President Trump, and I think that Chinese people will never be able to see that within the CCP, because, you know, when President Xi was giving out a public speech and have that moment, and, you know, that every people still needs to clap, or else you will be cleared from the, you know, the conference room, right? This is the exact difference between communist China and the United States. And going back to the questions that if, you know, President Trump, if President Biden and Putin and President Xi sits on a round table and President Biden ends, you know, a conversation like this, I think that one of the problem is that she would absolutely look at the translator from the Foreign Department and ask for a clarification. I think it will be one of the most awkward moment that they probably would ever have. But, you know, to tell you very frankly, you know, even President Xi had that moment in China, people still need to collect for his, you know, so-called wisdom and eloquency in the speech. That this is how CCP, you know, did, you know, to the Chinese public.
Well, this is why they didn't want a studio audience in America, because nobody would have been clapping for Joe Biden. That's for sure. We got another very important thing going on, which is Miles Guo's trial. That's your founder who founded the new federal state of China with Stephen Bannon. He's on trial for what appears to be trumped up charges. And this trial is going on and on and on. The prosecution continues to bring witnesses in, and now you're learning that you're saying that Miles's team may not be able to put on a complete defense because the time is going to run out. How does this happen in America?
Well, Grant, first of all, Ray, there is a consensus between the parties and the judge and the jurors saying that, you know, they want to complete everything by July 12th, which will probably make July 8th is next month, is, you know, the 2 weeks later as the jury deliberation date. And that means considering all of the independence holidays and public holidays that the court may have, that it only leaves Miles 2 days now before the jury deliberation date. And if there is, you know, an extension, I would assume that judge would, you know, announce it and negotiate it with the jurors and confirmed with the parties. But here is what it is. Last Friday, the government had confirmed with the judge, with the court, within the court, saying that all of these witnesses from the prosecution team will complete by Wednesday this week. However, you know, the cross-examination, the direct examination goes even beyond Wednesday. And even up till today, that the government has not completed, you know, their prosecution argument. They still have one more witnesses to go on. And beyond that, you know, the prosecution team said to the judge that they want to play a handful amount of videos to the jury because they believe that those videos have never been seen by the jury and was admitted as part of the evidence. And that will only leave Miles very limited amount of time. I don't even, you know if Miles would be able to have a full day just to go through his defense arguments and his defense witnesses. What we knew is that the defense team of Mr. Miles Guo had promised to the court that for each witness that they will be called in, they will make it very precise, very concise, and very short, just to make sure that they could both satisfy the deadline for the jury deliberation date. But, you know, but one of the patterns that we observe is that all of the witnesses brought in by the government, a huge amount of time was wasted on having these witnesses read over the PowerPoints provided by the prosecution team. Many of these documents were not even provided or shared with the witness.
So to me, it sounds completely unfair. Now, you know, if you try to look on the bright side of things, if they actually limit the amount of defense that he's able to put on, well, this case, if God forbid he's convicted, would be ripe for appeal. I mean, you have to be given the opportunity to put on a defense to cut that short because of a 4th of July holiday or because you've promised the jury that you can get home in time. That's not how the system is supposed to work. And if that happens, boy, I mean, I would think it would be an open and shut appeal, but you'd think you'd want to be able to put your case on so you don't get to the point of having an appeal. You get an acquittal.
Well, I think, you know, this is exactly, you know, how people are trying to estimate about the results of this trial. You know, obviously, you know, especially within the within this week, many of the witnesses came in that jury, the reaction from the jury is that they look very attentively on how defense, protect their own arguments. And in fact, that I will give you one example. One of the witnesses that they have called in is actually, a financial investigation person who held principal titles in these companies and helped the government to analyze the bank records, corp documents, and all of these documents provided by the government. And what the government was trying to, make arguments is that you see all of the entities that surrounds Mr. Miles Guo and mentioned in the indictment, their expenses actually go into Mr. Miles Guo's personal families. However, the defense very smartly pointed out that all these family expenses actually even, goes earlier than what the investment opportunities have even started. And so it was at that time, the time difference and the intention of reading over documents and going through complex charts in front of the jury and making people tired, make the jury think, that whether it is useful or whether it was very intentional for the prosecution team to waste the amount of time in the court. And so, Grant, I think, we will see how things develop in the court. For next week, we will have two full days, which was only Tuesday and Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. for Mr. Miles Guo to sit in the trial. And it will go very fast after the independence holiday. So we did see the possibility of having, slight extension of his trial. But we believe, the defense will still be able to make certain arguments. But the amount of time, was a drastic difference between the government and his defense team.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right that you would cut anybody's trial short. And no matter who it is, I mean, it's just not the American way. Everybody has a right to put on a defense. Everybody is right in a court to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. And seems more and more under this administration, under this Justice Department, that just isn't happening. Ayla Wang, it is so great to have you on. I appreciate you breaking all of these events down, from the debate to Miles' situation in court. And God bless the new federal state of China and all of your whistleblowers who go to great lengths and put their lives at risk to get us the information you bring us. We appreciate you.
Grant, thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, folks, don't forget, go to my website, grantstinchfield.com, social media, Stinchfield1776. Complete debate recap tonight on the Real America's Voice show. We got a couple big Supreme Court rulings as well to talk about. One that could really do us some good to limit the size of government. We'll talk about that tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Stinchfield's Army rolls because of all of you. We'll see you back here tomorrow.